Thank you, Roger. I don't remember when I was little knowing you, but I know that I did know you. I'd like to thank all of you for coming out this evening, and I thank all of you who have tuned in tonight. I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do hope that what God has put on my heart helps you as much as it's helped me. Most of my sermons are for me personally, directed at me and for my benefit. Hopefully they help you. I do have a title for this evening's sermon, and I thought it was kind of funny because Roger asked me Wednesday if I would help serve sacrament this morning, and I asked Roger Wednesday night if he would help me, if he would introduce me tonight, and not knowing what my sermon was yet, and not knowing what I was going to be reading, but tonight's sermon has a title, and it's Martha, Martha. So, without further ado, if you would open your Bible to the 27th Psalm. I'm going to start at the first verse. Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Absolutely no one at all but God himself. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." So just one thing that I want. And actually, when you read this, you realize it's the one thing everybody wants. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." And that's my desire. I'm pretty sure that most of you have the same desire, to be able to be right next to God, to Jesus Christ, all the days of our life. You know, I read the stories in the scriptures about all of these people who got to interact with him in the flesh. And when I read it, it's like, oh, if I could have been there, if I could have done that, you know, how great that would have been to have been there by his side and to actually get to sit there and listen to him talk and to see his smile and, you know, to have him break the bread and hand it to me, you know, in person. How would that have been? You know, just, oh, if I could have been there. You know, that this is what this person is saying, and it's what I want. You know, I want to be with him. But I know that I'm here. And I know that since the day I was baptized, I've had his Spirit with me. And yet when I read this, it's like, oh, I want to see. I want to be right next beside him. And so I understand this psalm. If you would turn to the 11th chapter of John, we're going to talk and read about some people who got to be right there with him. In the 11th chapter of John, we learn the story of Lazarus and his sister Mary and his sister Martha. They knew Jesus most of their life. The historians say that there's a very good, strong possibility that they grew up in the same town of Nazareth. At the time of this story, though, they're living in Bethany. So in the 11th chapter of John, first verse, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." And we all know that story. You know, she's famous. We know the story of Lazarus. He's famous. "Therefore his sister sent unto him," they sent word to Jesus, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Your good friend Lazarus is sick. "When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Sounds kind of odd, but that's what he did. He didn't go right away. He stayed another 2 days. "Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Why are we going? Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. And then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So by the time Jesus had gotten the information, and then he waited 2 more days, and then by the time he got there, Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 whole days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs long. About 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that, Martha? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Okay, so Martha is there with Jesus. They're not at Martha's house. They're outside of town. He hasn't got there quite yet. And she's come to get him. Tell him, you know, if you'd have just hurried up, he'd still be alive. And so they're having this little interaction. They've known each other a long time. And even though he is the Christ, the Messiah, she's given him a piece of her mind. And then when she's seeing that he's still not listening to her very well, she thinks, she decides to go get her sister, Mary, to see if Mary can convince him. And so she does. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Well, he didn't say that. As soon as she, Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Okay, so they're kind of setting the stage here, the picture. You know that Mary's still back at the house with all the people that had come to comfort her and Martha. Martha had left when she heard that Jesus was getting close, but everybody stayed with Mary. Why didn't anybody go with Martha? Don't know for sure. The Jews, then, which were with her, with Mary in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her. And went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Why didn't they follow Martha? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Basically the same thing that Martha said, except she fell down at his feet. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. A little bit different picture of the interaction between Martha and Jesus versus Mary and Jesus. And Jesus said, where have ye laid him? Where is he? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And so time went on. Some people went and they did talk to the Pharisees and were, you know, all excited, and they let everybody in Jerusalem know what Jesus had done and that this man Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and that Jesus brought him back to life. And it was amazing. And the Pharisees got irritated. And they decided that they needed to, do something about it. So now let's go down to the 12th chapter of John. First verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So Jesus comes back to Bethany. It's been a little while. Lazarus has been alive for a while, but everybody's still talking about it. And Jesus comes to Bethany. And he comes to Martha's house. Verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Just like we were talking about in Psalm 27, Lazarus was right there at the table with him, right by his side. Lazarus was the one he raised from the dead. Everybody's talking about him. It's amazing. And Martha served. Then took Mary, sister number two, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She actually got down on the floor and cleaned his feet with her hair while he's sitting at the table surrounded by all of his disciples and the apostles and Lazarus. Mary's there, and she gets down on the floor and cleans his feet with her hair and anoints it, his feet with oil, a very costly oil. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he, Judas Iscariot, cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Money was always on Judas's mind. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always have ye always have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And so it wasn't just Jesus' disciples, but it was a lot of people were showing up and looking in the windows and crowding into the area, you know, and getting in the way of Martha trying to cook supper. And there's Mary on the floor cleaning Jesus' feet, and all these people are watching her and listening to what Jesus is telling Judas Iscariot, and everybody's oohing and aahing, and then they're looking at Lazarus and they're pointing, and Martha's cooking. You know, they all knew Jesus. They did. They were friends. I kind of think Martha might have even been the older sister just from her attitude. You know, sorry, Robin, if you're listening, but, you know, it was always my older sister was always there taking care of us and telling us, you know, set the table, do this, do that, because she was the oldest. So I'm kind of going off my childhood. But here you have all this stuff going on. But the chief priests, consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And so all this stuff's going on, and it's big news, and Lazarus is famous. Mary's famous. Jesus is famous. His disciples, the apostles, they're famous. Mary's cooking. So turn back to Luke. Let's go back to chapter 10 of Luke. Verse 38 is where we're going to start. This here is Luke's version of Jesus making it to Martha's house. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. It's Martha of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Mary. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And that means Martha was carrying a big load of serving the people dinner that she'd been cooking for Jesus and all of his disciples. And she was doing it on her own. And Martha came out to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Jesus, I've had it up to here with my siblings. Nobody's helping me. I'm in the kitchen doing all of this by myself. And what's Mary doing? She's just sitting out there cleaning your feet with her hair, making a spectacle of herself. And Lazarus is sitting at the table and everybody's oohing on over him. But I'm the one that's cooking you supper, and nobody's helping me." "Bid her, therefore, that she help me." You tell her to get out here and help me. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Yep, you got a load that you're carrying, and you're worried about all kinds of stuff, Martha. "But one thing is needful." There is something that's important that's going on here. "And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Wow. Well, isn't that a knockdown statement for Martha? What was he telling her? Martha, and this is what he put in my heart. Sean, you want to be out there in the limelight with Lazarus and Mary and all the others, and you want everybody oohing and on. But your job, Sean, is to be in here cooking supper. But you know what's wrong? Your attitude. Sean, your attitude stinks. Because I put myself in Martha's place, and I'm like, I was irritated at Mary. So what's wrong with our attitude? It's not right. If we're going to serve God, whether we're in the limelight, whether we're standing up here with the light shining down on us and speaking these words, or we're sitting in the audience, or we're running the sound booth, or we're not even fortunate enough to be here and we have to watch it on live stream, our attitude should be, "I'm so thankful that I'm here. I'm so thankful that I get to serve you supper. I rejoice in the job that you gave me. I'm just glad to be in the house. I'm just glad you know my name. I'm just glad that you were willing to die for me. Our attitude needs to be fixed. Because if we're going to serve God, he says that you better love me with all your might, mind, and strength. And you better worship me and adore me with every ounce of energy you've got. And be thankful for what I have done for you. And what I have given you. And what I've asked you to do for me. You should be doing it with this overjoyed happiness of just being there. I asked my wife and I were talking the other night, and we were discussing stuff, and we were discussing attitudes of serving. Who's the most important person in your town, as far as the town is concerned? Well, who's the leader of your town? Say it louder.
Mayor.
The mayor, right? Is that the most important person in your town? Is that the person you care about the most? No. Do you know who the most important person in the town is, as far as you're really concerned? It's your trash man. Yeah, because you'd rather see the trash man come to your house than you would the mayor. You really don't care if the mayor ever shows up on your doorstep. But let the trash man miss coming to your house one time, and your whole world starts to fall apart. Your house is going to suffer. Whether the trash can's sitting outside somewhere, or if it's in the garage or the basement, your house is going to suffer. Because it's going to start filling up with flies every time you open the door. And trust me, that trash man is getting more important in your life as the days go on. So, who has the best job? Everybody wants to say the mayor, right? Well, he has a good job. And it is an important job. And without him delegating things and signing the checks and all of that stuff and saying, okay, do this, do that, things wouldn't get done and the trash guy might not make it to your house. But let me tell you, that trash man that most people, when you would mention, you ever want to grow up and be trash man or do you want to be mayor? I'll be mayor and you can be trash man. No, that trash man is important. Just as important, or maybe a little more important to you than the mayor, if you're willing to admit it. But everybody has to do their part. Yeah. And they have to do it with the right attitude. Let's go to Psalms 37. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. If we'll do what God has asked us to do, and if we'll do it with the right attitude, he'll be right there with us all the days of our life. And we can just laugh and rejoice and sing and skip along beside him if we want to, while we go about collecting the trash, doing our job, whatever it is. But he'll be there with us if we do it with the right attitude. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody, and I understand that. And you know, all of these people, from the beginning all the way up through the end of both of these books, they all wanted to be there too. And they all wanted to be there when he first showed up. They all wanted to be there when he's coming back. And they all talked about it. Oh, to be there in that day. Oh, you know, how grand and glorious it will be to see him coming through the air, to hear the trumpet. Well, you've heard a lot of sermons recently about where we're at in history. And yeah, it's getting close. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we can see the stuff that's going on. We can see the signs that are happening in the world, and we can compare it to what's written, and we can put two and two together, and we know, yeah, it's getting close. You know, it's getting real close. The other day, I was talking to Leslie Case and Brother Glenn Gill, and we was talking, and they both said, yeah, it's getting close. They both told me they probably wouldn't see it, but they looked at me and they said, we're pretty sure you will. Well, they're still here. They might see it. We don't know, and they might not. But if you would open your books, your Book of Mormon, to the third book of Nephi, chapter 9, I'm going to read this a little bit. Leslie read this the last time that he preached. I'm going to read it again. Not all of it, just some. Verse 94 of chapter 9, third book of Nephi. It's page 663 in the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to read verses 94 and 95, and then I'm going to skip down to 101. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that kings shall shut their mouths. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. For in that day, for my sake, shall the Father work a work, which shall be a great and a marvelous work among them. And there shall be among them which will not believe it, although a man shall declare it unto them. And Leslie's right. It is a great and marvelous work, and this is a great and marvelous time to be alive. Because we get to see things that some people have only dreamed about, and we're seeing it. 101. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. Well, that doesn't sound great and marvelous. That sounds horrible. But only if you're on the wrong side is it going to be horrible. If you're on the right side, he said that he would take care of you all the days of your life if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, no matter what's happening to the world. Right? That's what he said. That's what we just read in Psalm 37. So even though this stuff's coming, don't be afraid. It's a great and marvelous time to be alive and see the hand of God working, trying to draw people to him. He's trying to get everybody's attention without turning off the lights all at once. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. That'd be nice. Thy graven images I will also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. Thy standing images, I preached about this the last time I preached, standing images in the book of Micah, which is what Jesus Christ is quoting here. That means statues. Statues to kings and queens and bishops and whoever. Statues, just statues, not idols that they worship. Those were the graven images. But these are the standing images. It means statues. And thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities. Do we have cities being destroyed? Yeah. Minneapolis. They said 1,500 businesses were burnt so far. That's a lot of destruction for one town. Portland? Yeah. Austin? Yeah. Chicago, New York, you can just go on and on. The list is long. Cities are being destroyed, bit by bit. We're seeing it happen, but are we putting two and two together yet? And it shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredom shall be done away. That sounds good. I'd like to see that happen. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day, whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. So God's trying to get everybody's attention. Yes. Why? Because he wants to save their souls. Does he want them to die? No. He wants them to come into the light. He's trying to get their attention. And we're here witnessing it. It's a great time to be alive. Martha, you can come out of the kitchen. You can just go to the market and buy some food, and you're going to see all kinds of stuff, and everybody's going to be going, Martha, you're the one cooking for Jesus. I want to shake your hand. You know, this is a good time for the Marthas. Good time for the trash collectors to be alive if they're doing what Jesus has asked them to do, and they're doing it with the right attitude. The book of Galatians, the fifth chapter. Gonna start at the 14th verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Is that happening? Yes, and more frequently as the days go by. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk beside Jesus daily as his child, and this isn't going to affect you. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. It's not going to have hold on you, and it's not going to affect you. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it's a long list. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You have that attitude, there's nothing going to punish you. If you're up there in 19 through 21, where all of those things were read that were horrible, that's against the law, and it will have hold on you, and you will be punished. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Don't be Martha, be Mary or Lazarus. Change your attitude. And then cook and serve Jesus that way. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Martha, Martha. And just in case anyone is listening out there that doesn't know who we are and doesn't know what we believe in, and that we have both of these books, I want to read to you just a little bit out of the book of Revelation, the 16th chapter. Because I look at this and I see something that really is something I never thought I'd experience or see. This is book of Revelation, 16th chapter, 17th verse. It says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done." And this was brought to our attention through our brother Brian McIndoe. I looked it up, I read it, I studied it, I looked up the words, and it does. That word, into the air, it does mean to be able to breathe freely. But the vial is going to affect the air. And there's going to be voices. This is the 18th verse. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings." Okay? Since COVID has entered into the world, COVID-19, since it entered into the world last November, in China and then spread worldwide, we've heard voices continually talking about this. It has affected everyone over the entire planet. It has. Okay? So voices, everybody's talking about it. Then there's the thunders and the lightnings. Well, this spring and summer, they had horrific lightning storms over in India and Indonesia and Thailand and those places. And on a day-by-day basis, hundreds of people were getting struck by lightning and killed day after day after day. And it was in the news. You can look it up. It happened. Last Thursday, I saw a deal about California. And from Thursday through the previous 13 days in California, there had been 14,000 recorded lightning strikes in the state of California. I saw the news about it on day four of this dry lightning storm. They had 6,000 lightning strikes. I don't remember the fires that it had started was close to 500. That was day four. And on day four, the reporter said, "This is an historical event. Not a record-breaking event, but an historical event. Nothing like this had ever occurred in the history of mankind before." That was with 6,000 lightning strikes. On day 13, they had made it up to 14,000 lightning strikes. I haven't looked at it in the past couple of days. I don't know if it's still going on over there. But there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And next, there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The earthquake hasn't shown up, but do you know what Governor Newsom of California said about the lightning strikes on day four, when there was 6,000 lightning strikes? You know what he said? He said, "God didn't do this. It's our fault for climate change. We have brought this upon ourselves with climate change. We're responsible for this, and we can fix this ourselves. God's got nothing to do with it." Basically, the same thing that the governor of New York said when his state was suffering so much with COVID-19 deaths, and they did their complete lockdown, and they brought their numbers down and everything, and he got on the news when the numbers had gone way down and said, "God had nothing to do with this. It was the people of the great state of New York that brought this under control. You need to thank yourselves, not God." That was the same governor that had appeared on the news back last fall that was bragging on the news that he was the first governor in the United States to sign an abortion bill that said it was okay to kill your baby after it had survived an abortion and was born. He was so proud that he was the first governor in the United States to sign that bill into law in the state of New York, that they were so far advanced in their progressive way of thinking than the rest of the United States. Do you start to see a picture here of what's going on? Do you understand why Leslie said this is a great and marvelous time to be alive? Because we're watching God do stuff that he promised he was going to do if people didn't start obeying the law when it came down to the end. And we're watching it happen. This is a great and marvelous time to be alive. If you don't have the same attitude that Martha had, if you change your attitude, this is a great time to be alive, a great and marvelous time. But if we don't change our attitudes, this is not going to be so great and marvelous for us. Again, I thank you all for coming out tonight. I thank all of you who are listening on the live stream. I pray that God will be merciful upon us, that he'll continue to lead us and guide us as his children, that we will continue to bring honor and glory to his name, that we as his children who have taken the name of Christ upon us will not take his name in vain and bring it down into dishonor. Thank you for being here.